Luke 1, 26 to 28. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he, Gabriel, came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." Nazareth was a small, obscure town. It was unimpressive, and it didn't have a particularly good reputation. And not only was the place obscure and unimpressive, so too was the person. The Bible tells us almost nothing about Mary's background. We know her name, we know she was betrothed, and so was a virgin. That's about it. Now, betrothal in that culture was a bit like being engaged in our culture, except much more serious. It was legally binding. You could only get out of it with a divorce. And girls would get betrothed to future husbands, often around the age of 13, which would help give them some protection and security until they were later married. And so Mary was probably just a teenager. And when she became pregnant with Jesus, she of course had the major stigma of being an unwed teenage mother. And if you think that's a stigma here in Tennessee, that is nothing to the derision she would have been met with in first century Israel. Here's the point. As we go through life, there may be seasons when we look important and impressive and valuable, and so people treat us accordingly, and seasons when we don't, and so they don't. There might be times when we feel important and impressive and valuable, and so people treat us accordingly, and times when we don't, and so they don't. And that is how this fallen world works. Whereas God's economy is so different. He loves to take what looks unimportant and unimpressive and not very valuable and to do beautiful, powerful, significant things in those kinds of people and in those kinds of situations. He loves to honor the humble. He loves to work through the weak. He loves to lift up the lowly. And so it was that he chose an obscure little girl from an obscure little town and lavished upon her the greatest privilege imaginable. That when the eternal second person of the Trinity took on a human nature, she should be his human mother. That when God the Son should also become the Son of God, this little girl should get to be his human mother. As the angel says to Mary, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." The word for greetings in the Greek has as its root the word we translate as grace. And then when the angel calls Mary, "O favored one," again, the Greek there literally says, "O one receiving grace." We have a God whose grace overflows to those who this world overlooks. And as the rest of Scripture shows, that is God's economy all the way. Paul said it like this in 1 Corinthians 1. God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are. And then Paul applies this truth when he continues in the very next verse, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. The reason God loves to choose and to use what is weak and foolish and low, as the world sees it, like he did with Mary, is so that he rightfully gets the glory. As Paul says elsewhere, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. So this Christmas, let's fight the instinct to be conceited or proud if we might seem wise or strong or impressive. That is the way of the world. And equally, let's take care not to secretly look down on others if they might seem foolish as the world sees it, or weak or unimpressive. This world's economy is very shallow and will ultimately be exposed and destroyed. As Jesus is fond of saying in the Gospels, the first will be last, and the last will be first. So this Christmas, let's be boasting in the only one who deserves all the glory, the God who loves the lowly, the God who gives grace.